You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 14th of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we have a special guest with us today. We have the Groiper Queen, Jodie Kay, with us, fresh from groiping Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party. Jodie, welcome to the show. I'm amazed at your performance this morning. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. How do you feel?
I feel amazing. I feel like I've done something worthwhile today. It was a great way to start the Monday. It was a great way to start the week. I'm still very excited by it.
Well, it's fantastic. As you say, what a great way to start the day. I saw last night that you had been called by the radio station and they wanted you to put a question to him, and you were working out what to say, and it just couldn't have gone better. I think were you nervous at all? How come they gave you a call in the first place? How did that come about?
I actually took part in last week's Groip against it was another LBC, Majid, and I made a call then, got through, and then they phoned me again last night and said, we would love you to come back on. Would you come on and speak to Keir Starmer? I said, yes, I will.
It was brilliant. And that was on Nick Ferrari's radio show as well. What's that? Capital Broadcasting, something like that? I don't really listen to...
It's on LBC.
LBC. Right. Well, let's have a play of what went on so that our listeners can hear what you said. So I'll just key that up now. It shouldn't be far away, and you should hear it as well.
Gemma, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning, Nick.
Great Hi, show. Gemma.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Gemma.
Hi, Keir. Thanks for having me on. It's wonderful to speak with you. So I'm actually calling about something that happened a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you heard it in the news, the booing at Millwall.
Oh.
My husband was actually there as part of the spectators, and he joined in the booing. He has since been clumped and labelled as a racist. But if you just bear with me, because I'm sure we're probably quite ignorant about the whole thing, so I'm just interested to hear...
Well, can I ask you, and then I promise you, Keir will talk. Have you asked your husband why he booed?
Yes, I did.
And what did he say? I mean, I'd ask you not to use any offensive language if that's where we're going. But
oh, no. Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm sure we're quite ignorant about the whole thing. But in the wake of organisations like BLM and other racial advocacy groups pushing what's best for their people, I just want to ask, should white people also start playing identity politics now before they become a minority themselves by 2066?
Don't go, Sakir.
Gemma, I don't think it was right to boo. There's no getting away from that. I really don't think it was the right thing to do.
Do you agree players... with freedom of expression, that people have the right to do that?
Yeah, of course I agree with freedom of expression, but that is also the freedom for me to say I think it's the wrong thing to do. And I do. And
let's just hear from Sakir. I will come back to Gemma.
Gemma, I'm really struck, actually, that most, I think pretty well all clubs, all fans across... the piece are applauding the taking of the knee. Certainly all the clubs that I've seen are applauding that. I think Millwall was an outlier in that respect. I think it was wrong. But I think it also, you know, what this represents is a recognition of injustice that has gone on for many, many years in relation to racial inequality. And it's come to a head this year, as everybody knows. And we just need to hold on to that, because I think actually most people feel that where there's an injustice, it needs to be put right. And that's what is signalled by taking the knee, and the players and the referees very often take the knee. And I think that's what it's symbolic
of. I mean, even Les Ferdinand, who you'll probably know, just to remind my listeners, was a very successful football player, happens to be a black fellow himself. He's now the first black man to be a director of football. He's with the Championship, Queen's Park Rangers, and he says it is hollow. It's like a fancy hashtag or a lapel. It is achieving nothing.
Well, I don't think that's right.
He's a black man who played football for England. I mean, he's in a position of knowledge, isn't he?
No, he is, of course, and I respect his view, of course. It doesn't mean I agree with it. I think that what's happened over the many years, this is the counter-argument, it's quite a powerful one, is that there is racial inequality, there is injustice, and from time to time it becomes an issue, it's looked at for a few weeks, and then it goes away. And this is an attempt to keep the focus on it until things really change.
Hasn't the round now focused just on taking the knee? And the important issue of getting black managers, black directors of football, black chairmen or chairwomen of clubs. I mean, that's been lost because we just take the knee.
So no, I don't think it's one or the other. I think you can do both, and it's a way of drawing attention to it. But, in the end, it's for each individual to decide how they want to tackle injustice.
Why did your husband... Sorry, you didn't quite explain, if I may go there again. Why did he choose to boo?
Because if anything, the racial inequality is now against the indigenous people of Britain, because we are set to become a minority by 2066. And taking the knee, bringing the political sphere into the football arena, and we just have to look across to the Middle East. You know, Israel has a state law that they are the only people in that country to have self-determination. Well, why can't I, as a white British female, have that same right?
Final point to you on this, Sakir.
Well, Gemma, we all have those rights. This is about recognising some injustice has gone on for a very, very long time. And I think people were genuinely moved this year and want to make sure that that injustice is dealt with. And, you know, people will look at it different ways, but I think the vast majority of people do want a more equal society.
Gemma, thank you. To other calls.
That was excellent. You got so much in there. The way he tries to deflect from the question, he didn't answer any of the points that you put to him, did he? He just wanted to talk about the fact that football clubs got down on their knees. The whole point of it is we don't have the same right to self-determination. All you have to look at for the proof of that is what happened when the White Lives Matter banner was flown above the football ground. And look at the chaos that was caused there and all the hatred that was directed towards the person that was actually behind that. He didn't answer any of the questions at all. And what you were saying was just sounded so reasonable. And I should imagine it really woke a lot of people up to the position we're in to think that we're going to be a minority by the time we get to 2066. I mean, the very reasonable points that you put to him. I also thought that you did really well to get so many points in there as well. I think I would have got a little bit confused because you brought up the fact that in Israel they have self-determination, and why can't we stand up for our rights? And you also got in the fact that we are the indigenous people of Britain. I'm amazed that actually that they didn't come back at you on any of those points. I think it was because you were so fast with them. And you went from one to another one really quickly. So they were trying to focus on what you were saying, and you sort of bypassed their defence mechanism. Do you think that's what happened?
I think so. I thought they were actually at one point, and someone had messaged and said, I think they've muted you. And I thought they had. I thought they'd muted me. And I didn't think they'd let me come in for a response. And when I came back with the response that I did, I thought, again, they're going to block me. They're not going to talk to me. But they did. And I was surprised because obviously they have a time delay from me speaking to actually going live on the radio. And I thought they have a time delay for a reason. And I thought they're going to cut this off. They're not going to give me the airtime, but they did. And I haven't said anything untoward. I've just said the truth. They're not my words. I haven't said that we're going to be a minority by 2066. This is a professor who studies demography. They're not my words. I'm just repeating what other people have said. So yeah, it's but I was very nervous, and when I got the call last night, and I kept saying I'm probably not the person for this, because put on the spot, I don't feel I've got the articulation to deliver. So I did have notes. But yeah, I was really pleased with how it went. I was really pleased. And they didn't answer the questions. They didn't. They were sidestepping. They were avoiding. And when Keir Starmer said, you know, people, the football fans are applauding the taking the knee. Well, clearly they're not all applauding. Not all of them. Not everyone agrees with this.
I don't think they are at all, not judging by what we saw at Millwall. And they said the reason why they did that is because the organisation Black Lives Matter is tearing down our statues and desecrating our statues. And that was their reason for doing it. And I was very surprised that Keir Starmer said, oh, yes, they have the right to freedom of expression to do that. But of course, they were accused of being racists and accused of the equivalent of hate speech for actually doing that. And I think when they muted you, he was just muting you because they were worried that you were going to talk over the top of Keir Starmer. So I think that was why he quickly jumped in there and muted you. How much of a time delay is there before you actually come across on the live radio then? Is it quite a substantial length of time?
I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's 30 seconds. I don't know if it's a minute. I don't know if it's a couple of minutes. I'm not too sure.
Oh, it's amazing that you managed to get past that. There has been some pushback from this as well, as you would expect. And we've had some tweets from Owen Jones, who is a notorious left-wing person. He claims to represent the working class. I think he wrote a book calling the working class chavs. That's how he originally got into the mainstream. And he writes a lot for The Guardian, and he goes on a lot of talk shows, and he says this caller is part of a coordinated attempt by far-right extremists to call in to Keir Starmer's LBC show. They are now jubilant because there was no pushback on their white supremacist bile. What makes it even worse is that it was part of a longer white supremacist rant. It should not need to be said that the Labour Party should unequivocally push back on white supremacism. What a thing to have to type. There needs to be a full explanation and apology from Labour's leadership about this diabolical failure to challenge full-blown white supremacy on national radio. Watch this at 1 minute 10 seconds in. I nearly clawed my eyes out. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better response. That's bound to receive mainstream media attention, draw a lot of attention to this. And the point is that he is condemning this, and he's calling it bile. He's calling it white supremacism. He's saying it needs an apology. It's diabolical even. He's accusing it of being satanic. And in actual fact, all you are saying is, why can we not have the same rights as Black Lives Matter appear to have? And why can't we have the same rights as they have in Israel? And what about freedom of expression? And at least Keir Starmer did say that, well, we have freedom of expression. I should imagine he's going to get some stick for that. What do you make of Owen Jones's tweet here, Jodie?
Like, what exactly did I say wrong? It seems this is the upside down clown world we're living in. It's one rule for one rule for another, one rule for another, except us. How dare we speak about what's happening to us in the UK? How dare we speak about the girls that are being raped? How dare we speak about us becoming a minority? How dare we speak about us being Indigenous people?
We're not supposed to have any interests, are we? I say we're not supposed to have any interests of our own, are we? We're not allowed to have any concern about the things that are going on to our own people. We're not allowed to identify as our own people. And that was the first point that you made, isn't it? Is should we be adopting identity politics the same as the Black Lives Matter crowd? And he refused to answer that. But I think more and more people are thinking that that we should do. I mean, even that taking the knee gesture, that's now become associated with Keir Starmer. He is now the representative of taking the knee. And that's why he was having to answer for it. That's why Nick Ferrari was talking to him as the representative of it. And the origination of that taking the knee is to show that you don't identify with your own country. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, he got down on his knees instead of standing for the national anthem. So that's what it says. It says my loyalty is to black people more than my loyalty is to my country. And by Keir Starmer doing that in a very ostentatious way. That's effectively what he's saying. He's saying that his loyalty is to the newcomers into Britain. His loyalty is not to his country. I think there's going to be more and more of a backlash against this taking the knee gesture. What do you make of Keir Starmer himself and the fact that he says he does support freedom of expression?
Well, he says he supports freedom of expression, and he said it's his right to express how he feels about people booing, which I understand. But freedom of expression, I'm expressing, well, Gemma, I was under the call as Gemma. I'm expressing the concerns of so many people who are maybe afraid to use their voice, who maybe aren't fully aware of what's going on, but they can see what's going on, but they just can't, they can't mold it together. So I'm being a voice. I'm expressing myself. I feel I'm expressing for our people, but yet that's been damned. Looking at these tweets, you know, it's horrific. I'm having to write this. It's horrific that this person, the Labour Party, must apologise. What have I said that's not true? I wasn't saying it in a malicious manner. I wasn't saying it hateful towards anyone. I was just saying, are we allowed self-determination in our own country?
Well, you would think that we do have that. I mean, Keir Starmer wants to put across the image that we do have that. And he said, yes, well, everybody has the right to self-determination. But we don't, because everybody else is included in our self-determination. Everybody else can call themselves British. They're given a passport and they're told that they actually come from this country, even though their ethnic heritage is from somewhere else. So we don't have the right to self-determination. We don't have the right to advocate for our own people in the same way that Black Lives Matter do. And when we try to give people the terminology and the language to use when they're explaining these sort of things, they try to silence us and they call it hate speech. And we get the same response as we've had here from Owen Jones. We've also got we've got Clive Lewis, Labour MP, who says, for neither the presenter nor Keir to, at the very least, explore further, unpack and robustly challenge such an extreme statement is frankly appalling. And I think maybe they didn't actually pick up on it. Maybe they weren't trying to deflect. They genuinely didn't actually pick up on what you were saying. Do you think they did pick up on what you were saying and just didn't know how to respond to it? Or do you think that they were so unused to actually hearing that sort of language that they didn't know how to respond to it?
Well, I was actually called by LBC. They phoned me last night. Because of my previous call I'd had. And I think the reason they wanted to speak to me is because I spoke about the bending of the knee. I didn't realise until, I think it was, you had said about taking the knee as a sign of stepping away from your people. You're not going to stand for the national anthem. But I also knew from E. Michael Jones made a statement shortly after the death of George Floyd that the taking the knee is obviously very symbolic as to how George Floyd died. And my call from last week was saying the taking of the knee was a practice taught by the IDF that went to America and taught the police there this restraining technique that is used on the Palestinians. And I used that in my original call. And he said, oh, the call was going so well until you got here. Why did you have to mention that? Bearing in mind that at the beginning of the show, they were talking about Israel and Palestine. And so I think they called me back because of my view that it's a technique that's come from Israel. So, but they, when the producer phoned me from LBC, they said, right, we'd like you to ask a question about taking the knee and about freedom of expression and freedom of speech. So I don't think they were prepared. I do think some way they were prepared for it because they'd heard my call from the previous week. But they did ask me to script a question on taking the knee and freedom of expression.
I'm really unsure what's worse, you know, not standing for the national anthem or miming a supposed execution gesture. It's just bizarre to me because, I mean, really what it is, it's a symbol of submission, isn't it? You get down on your knees. And that's why a lot of people have said, well, I'm not getting down on my knees for anyone, let alone for Black Lives Matter. So it's just bizarre to me, the whole concept of it, and to see our police doing it as well before people that are throwing push bikes at police horses and having violent riots, and to actually have the police kneeling before them is just, you know, it's beyond belief, to be honest. But what you mentioned there, that they asked you to formulate a question first of all, and I'm guessing they weren't expecting the questions that you put to them. What was the question that you gave to them that you said you were going to be asking, the original one?
Well, they actually gave me a question to ask.
Oh, great stuff.
To ask, because I said that Gemma's husband was in the audience at the Millwall game, and that he booed, and that he had the right to boo. And so the question they gave me to ask was, is Keir Starmer in favour of free expression?
That's incredible, you know. They call you up to ask a question on the radio, and then they tell you what question they want you to ask.
Yeah.
I mean, that really gives credibility to the crisis actors. Conspiracy theory, doesn't it? That they're telling people what to actually say in times of crisis, and they're telling you what you should be asking to the politicians. It's all scripted. I'm amazed at that. I thought that they really genuinely would have asked you to formulate a question, and then they would have checked it over, and then they would have said, yeah, it's okay to ask him that, but not actually gone so far as to put the words in your mouth and tell you what you should be saying. I find that shocking.
Yeah, so they've already got time to prepare their answer. So I went in with that. I went in with that angle, but then I coloured it in and elaborated on that as well.
Well, that was very, very clever of you to do that on the spot there as well. Because I know if you've got a script in front of you and you've got it all written down what you want to say, and you're very nervous, you can get all confused about what you're trying to say, and you can mix one sentence up with the other. So was that exactly what you had written down, what you eventually said, or did you ad lib a little bit?
It's always difficult because in that situation like that, you can't really plan because the conversation will be led one way or the other. So I had some points I wanted to touch on, and the state law for Israel was something I did want to touch on, because why can't we speak about that? Why can't we speak about that in regards to what's happening here? And it's not that everyone comes up, oh, this white supremacy. And it's not. If one state is entitled to self-determination, why aren't we? Why aren't France? Why aren't Spain? Why aren't, you know, it's, when does it stop? Why is it one rule for one and one for the other? So in that respect, that was one thing I did want to bring in, because it just highlights the hypocrisy.
Well, maybe we should elaborate more on what is meant by self-determination. Israel is a Jewish state. It's specifically written into the constitution that it is a Jewish state. It is for Jews. If any Jews from around the world wish to become citizens of Israel, they have to do a DNA test. They have to prove that they are Jews. And the Israelis are notorious for sending back Ethiopian Jews because they don't match up to the DNA profile that they want, which is the more European style of Jews. And yet, if anybody else was to say that, if we were to say here in Britain, well, you have to pass a DNA test to be British, you have to be white to be British, we would be accused of being white supremacists. I mean, as it is, as nationalists, we're accused of being haters, we're accused of being supremacists, simply because we want our people to exist. We don't want to be consumed by these other races, these incompatible races with us. I mean, if we do become absorbed by them, it means that they lose their originality, they lose their diversity, the same as we do. I mean, we are really the ones that are trying to preserve the diversity in the world by preventing the mingling of the races together into something that's never existed before. And yet they have the gall to say that we are the ones that are the haters and they are the ones that are promoting diversity. It's shocking. Well, maybe we should talk a bit about the actual the actual side of groiping as activism, because this is a fairly new thing. It's really come about over the last year or two, I think, starting with Nick Fuentes. That's it. Sorry, yeah. I was forgetting the name then. And it really, the only time I'd heard it done before was about 4 or 5 years ago. Somebody phoned up, and they managed to say something about the Holocaust and about gas chambers on the radio. And there was a big thing about that, but then it hasn't been done since then, but it's been really successful over the last year or two, more successful, I would say, than protests. And that alongside, the streaming that people do now, it seems as if activism is going off in a new direction, making use of the fact that we have access now to the mainstream in that way by phoning them up on the internet. Do you know much about, do you want to talk a little bit about that actual way of carrying out activism, Jody?
Well, I actually came across it from Nick Fuentes from America. It was introduced to me when it was Charlie Kirk and his Turning Point USA tour, and Nick was asking people to speak at events, Charlie Kirk thought the people coming up were asking genuine questions, but the groipers were all waiting to ask questions that they were not expecting. So when I watched the Charlie Kirk Turning Point USA, I was like, wow, it's powerful. It's really powerful. And the effect it had. Then I heard through Chris and Natty and Charlie, they were groiping. In a different way. And I thought, wow, I want to get involved because it has an impact and it's very powerful. And we've done a few shows and we've had a few LBC appearances. And I think the last LBC we had, I think seven callers. And on our first LBC Groip of the Round Table, we had 7 out of 10 were us. Were our people. Now that's going out to a huge audience. So this is the thing. It's about getting people involved, especially with the lockdown and people thinking, I don't know how to get involved. I don't know what to do. That's something so simple that anyone can do. I've proven that can be done today. Make a phone call. You can use your real name. I use the name Gemma. They've now found my real name, but I'm out there anyway. And that's how it needs to be done. With the same talking points coming again and again, just to get people thinking and listening to the truth, which is not what the mainstream are pushing. And it's going against that narrative of take the knee for Black Lives Matter, but be very ashamed if you dare say White Lives Matter.
It's like making the mainstream media work for us for quite a while. The point, people would say that the point of having these protests is that it gets in the newspaper. When you hold a protest and you hold a few signs up and the left get angry and throw things at you, it makes the newspapers and it gets us talked about. But it means we only get talked about through their lens and the way that they portray us. And when you're groiping, when you're actually calling up the mainstream media, and getting past their censors, you're actually getting across an uncensored message from us. So it really is making the mainstream media work for us in a much more successful way than it's ever been done before. I mean, it's great to hear that you've got like a team that are doing this and 7 out of 10 of the callers to some of these stations. It's similar to what happened with the comment sections, I guess. And eventually what they did, they just did away with the comment sections all over the internet because there were so many people that were on there that were putting forward a counter narrative to what the mainstream media were trying to do. But what it really highlights is the fact that what they're telling us is lies. That's why so many people are willing to phone up and devote time to trying to wake the rest of us up. It's because we're being told lies by the mainstream media, and they're responsible for so much of the problems that we see in the world. I mean, there's nothing like the hate that comes from the establishment towards nationalists. It's all projection when they say that we're the ones that are the haters. I haven't got an ounce of hate in my body. And yet when you read something like Owen Jones's tweet, just about you, I mean, it just comes across as so vindictive and horrible, and accusing what you say of being bile, when all you're saying is, shouldn't we be doing the same? Shouldn't we be advocating for our people the same as Black Lives Matter are doing? I mean, it's such a sensible and reasonable thing to say. And it's fantastic that you managed to get that out to the, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of listeners. They may even have millions of listeners. I mean, that's LBC, that's a really big station. Do you have any idea how many listeners he would have? That was the breakfast show as well, wasn't it?
It was. I think he normally gets one between 1 and 1.5 million. But I think because you had Keir Starmer on, it could have been up to 2 million.
Amazing.
This morning. Yeah.
Amazing. That is so good. You're going to have a spring in your step all day today, I know. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Jody. I really appreciate that, and so do our listeners. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.